Good morning. It's so good to share God's word together. I trust you've had a good week and that you've been blessed. And we're going to think this morning particularly about prayer, a subject that is very important for us to consider. We're going to do that. But if I was to ask you, what do you think are the most important areas of your Christian life that keep you in relationship with God and keep that alive and real? I wonder what you would say. You might say fellowship. You might say prayer. You might say God's word. But you and I, you see, know how significant these things are. It's like breath in our lungs, vital to life. Yet we find things like prayer and fellowship and God's word being pushed aside through maybe busyness or things going on in our lives. Let me read from the book of James, chapter 5. And verses 13 to 20. James talks about prayer right at the end of his letter. He says this: is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it didn't rain. It didn't rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, Elijah prayed, and the heavens opened and gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. I want us to think this morning about the importance of prayer. And after I've spoken for a few minutes, I'm going to be joined by Ross and Rob as we kind of talk together about some of the practical issues of how prayer should be in our lives and what effect that might have as God hears and answers our prayer. But firstly, the importance of prayer. You see, Jesus himself instructs us on how to pray in Luke chapter 11, calling us to ask, to seek, to knock, and to be bold in trusting in God's generosity to us. In Luke 18, for example, Jesus calls us to be persistent in prayer, never giving up, but calling upon the Father who will come to our aid quickly. Then the book of Acts, the early church, we can kind of respond to that, can't we? What do we find the early church doing? Well, in Acts 2:42, we find that they were devoted to some of the things I mentioned earlier, to fellowship, the word of God, the breaking of bread, and to prayer. They were devoted to that. That was a big part of their lives. Then in Acts chapter 6, when it becomes apparent that someone needs to help out with the distribution of food amongst the widows, what do the leaders of the church say? We will appoint godly men for this task so that we can devote ourselves to prayer and to the word. What Jesus taught concerning prayer, the New Testament church enacted. So what Jesus taught was seen in the life of the early church. Christ-centered, God-honoring, and fervent praying permeates the New Testament. The question is, does it permeate my life and your life? Let's see what James says about prayer, shall we? Well, in verses 13 to 14, he says this: in the midst of suffering, pray. In the midst of blessing, pray and sing praises. When struck down with sickness, ask others to pray. Call the elders to pray. No matter what circumstances we face, and we all face times of trouble, times of triumph, we are to pray to God. Do you know, this word to us, of course, is countercultural, isn't it? Our world prides itself on being self-sufficient. It loves to boast how things have been achieved And it continually tells us that when in trouble, look to the power within us. Try harder. Make it work. Our responsibility. But what does the Word of God say? Well, simply, God's Word says pray. In times of difficulty, in times of joy, in times of triumph, we're to pray. I wonder why that is. Well, you see, it seems to me that prayer helps us to measure our problems, our situations against the Lord, instead of against our own puny wisdom and power. When we measure our problems against our abilities, our strength, we can descend so easily into fear and panic. This is where prayer is so vital, for when we pray, we call upon the Lord. And that he leads us to measure our problems against his strength, his might, his power, his wisdom, and all that he is. Brothers and sisters, this morning, heed what James says. Pray, pray, and pray. So that in times of trouble, pain, and frustration, you'll know the richness of comfort that God brings. It was Hudson Taylor who said this: perhaps the greatest hindrance to our work is our own imagined strength. In other words, often the last thing that we do is to pray. We'll try and work it through ourselves. We'll try and kid ourselves in some way that we're able to get out of this mess, get out of this hole, without asking our eternal God and Father to help us. It was Hudson Taylor also said this: shall we not each of us determine to labour more in prayer, to cultivate more intimate communion with God by his help, thinking less of our working and more of his working, that he may in every deed be glorified in and through us. He lived some time ago, as you know, but Hudson Taylor was a man of God, a man who proved God in every way. And he was saying, even to himself, we need to cultivate more our relationship with God in prayer. So James then goes on to give us an illustration of that. And he goes back to the Old Testament. He says, here's a reason that we see that prayer is so powerful and effective. Let's look at Elijah. You see, what happened with Elijah, which he says in verses 17 to 18, he says he's a man like us. So strip away the fact that he was a prophet. Strip away the fact that he was a man of God. Strip away the fact that he seemed to perform miracles and wonders and signs and so on and so forth. Strip away all that. And James says he was a man like us. Nothing special. He was like you and me. And what did he do? He prayed that it would not rain, and it didn't rain. For 3.5 years, there was drought in the land. And then after 3.5 years, he prayed that it would rain, and the heavens opened, and the crops began to grow again. Why such power in prayer with Elijah? Well, James explains, I think, twofold. Firstly, he was a righteous man. Secondly, he prayed earnestly. Those two things we see in Scripture, don't we, in a number of people described both in the Old and New Testament. A righteous man, a man who took God seriously, a man who sought to serve God well and to become more like Jesus. And when he prayed earnestly. I guess he cried a few times, he wept a few times. He cried out to God as if, Lord, I can do nothing here, you intervene. There was an earnestness about his prayer. In this James reading, he's really saying that prayer is powerful, it's effective, and it's open to every believer in Jesus Christ. Of course, it isn't some kind of magic potion where we ask God for something, and if it's not answered within a few moments, it's failed. Of course not. God hears and answers our prayer. He prayed earnestly. I'm going to be joined by Rob and Ross in a moment, and we're going to discuss some aspects of prayer together that just might help us, I hope, practically to work through some of the issues of what it means to be a prayerful believer, what it means to pray earnestly, what it means to hear God and to see him at work amongst us. So why don't we do that now? Let's be joined by Ross and Rob.
Well, let me give you a few examples. I think, so we wake up in the morning. What's our first thoughts? Well, get showered and or washed or bathed or clean the teeth and get dressed and so on. But maybe when we wake up, just a quick thank you, Lord, for this new day. Lead me, guide me, help me. You know, that kind of sense in which God is part of us in every circumstance. So in my car, Lord, I'm having a trying day today. Give me your peace as I'm traveling. Lord, I need somewhere to park when I get into town, and I'm running behind. Lord, give me a space. Could you help me? A lady struggling with her shopping. Lord, send someone just to help me, you know, because I'm struggling here carrying three bags and I've still got quite a way to walk home. And so as the day progresses, we're in a constant touch with God in prayer. I guess it's kind of imagining in some sense that God is next to us. Jesus is there with us, and he wants to be with us. He doesn't want to ignore us. He wants to be part of our day and being led by the Spirit in that. So I suppose praying in every circumstance literally means bringing God into that. Nothing's too small, I guess. Rob, I don't know how your experience of that's been, but it isn't just the big things. Yeah. It's the day-to-day life that we all face.
Well, it's funny you mentioned the example of car parking, because I remember my dad saying to me after a while, he said, I like going shopping with you because we always get a car parking space. And then, you know, he wasn't a Christian, but he did notice that we always did. So little things like that can be noticeable as well. Yeah. And what you said there about, you know, be anxious for nothing, how it is an attitude of dependence and awareness of God's presence with you through each day. And just that attitude of I liked your phrase being having Jesus alongside you, because in those verses in Philippians 4, where it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. The bit before that is rejoice, I say. And then in those, that verse, it talks about being thankful. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. It's very much, it's not a shopping list. It's being in his presence, isn't it? That's what you were getting at there. And that's what those verses say. Yeah.
I wonder sometimes whether we make too much of prayer. Let me say what I mean by that. That actually you come to a prayer meeting or you can only pray when you've just read the Bible and you want you want to pray. And maybe prayer is not a word that we understand fully these days. You know, maybe just talking to God is a better understanding of what we're saying here.
Yes.
Because you talk to people all day, don't you? If you're particularly, maybe different in COVID, but you know, when you're at work or when you're with family, you naturally talk, and it's getting to that point, I think, that praying in every circumstances
is
both being aware and being able just to talk to God, whatever you're doing.
I think that's good, because I think some people seem to do that more naturally than others. Some of us kind of think, and I'm one of these people who wants to kind of sort out problems, think things through, figure things out.
Yeah.
And I'm often reminded, more often than not by Maggie, but sometimes by the Holy Spirit as well, best just to pray. It's just so much easier and better.
Yes.
And that's you know, important that we, you know, sometimes that there is a time to kind of fall down on your knees and you know, before God, just bare your heart, and it's a massive thing as some things come up, but just being in the presence of God and as you said, talking to God makes you aware of that, doesn't it? If you're actually verbalizing those thoughts into a prayer, it makes you aware of God's presence. And so it does help.
James talked about praying in faith in the passage we looked at. What do you think that means? That's a huge one in some people's minds, isn't it? Think you have to build up faith before we can pray. And what does that mean? What does that kind of look like for you, Rob?
Yeah, he says, let him ask in faith without doubting. But he who doubts is like a wave of the sea. And it does say there in James something that God gives generously, and the emphasis there is that he wants to give much more than we want to ask. That's what it's saying in James.
If I
remind myself of that, that really helps me to have faith that he's not reluctant to answer our prayers. The very opposite. I think I found that it's easy to look for an emotion of faith, and there is an emotional aspect to it, I'm sure. But for me, it's more about a conviction that this prayer is in line. God is in line with his promises that he will answer those prayers, which I'm always convinced of, but in line with his will. And sometimes I just have a conviction, this is what God wants. So it's great I pray for it, because then when it happens, I'm going to be really chuffed that I've been part of that process.
Yes, yes.
And if I don't, because God's going to do it, then you know, I'd be missing out not to.
Yes, so quite.
For me, there are some things I can remember where I knew God was going to do that. And the way for me, and I'm sure it's different for everybody, but the way for me is he sometimes challenges me to step out and tell people, I think God's going to do this. And I'm putting my head on the chopping block in a way.
Yes, quite.
But I've known when I do that, and it doesn't, I don't have to shout it from the rooftops, I don't have to boast, but when I think, God is going to do this and tell people, and then he does it reflects on him, not me, obviously. But that's one way I can express my faith to people.
I came across a quote the other day which I found really helpful. It said, faith is not a leap in the dark, it is a leap in the light into the light.
Yes.
And I think what that's saying really is that faith isn't about feeling, it's about fact, isn't it?
Yes.
It's about taking the promises of God and believing them and having faith in them. And I suppose we do this in our daily lives, don't we? You know, we trust people. We know who we can trust.
Yes.
And if they say they're going to do something, we know they're going to do it.
Yes.
And similarly, I guess faith is, it's often seen as this leap in the dark, hoping that God will do something.
Yes.
When actually it's a leap in the light, because we have the facts about God. We know who God is. We're in tune with him and so on.
Yeah.
And it's that leap into the light. I just found that helpful.
So what is it that keeps you praying when it's one of these things that you have to keep praying for? It's a you know, long-term prayer that you're expecting God to do. What is it that motivates you to kind of keep praying?
I suppose the biggest thing, Rob, is that Jesus said quite a bit about this, didn't he, in terms of don't give up, keep praying, some of the parables that he spoke of were just about that, you know. And when he says, you know, if a neighbor was knocking at the door all night, would he not eventually get up and say, here you are? And I think I think the biggest thing for me is that God tells me to do that, because you know, we take prayer out of the kind of magical thing that we do, you know, wanting God to do straight away what we ask him, to a loving Father who knows what's best for us, and his timing is perfect. It's not an easy one, of course, you know, this don't give up. And sometimes it's, we can sometimes kind of lose this edge of our faith, I guess, because it, you know, we don't necessarily come with the same vigor to ask the same thing that we asked a week ago.
That's right.
So it is. And again, going back to that parable, I you kind of think of that poor guy in bed, and the guy keep knocking. You know, he didn't make his knock any softer. In fact, he probably made it louder as the night went on.
That parable encourages me as well, actually, Phil, because often you think, well, I think I've got to be good to get an answer to my prayer. And I've got it's almost like it's a reward. You'll only answer me, which isn't true at all. That parable is saying, you know, not because of who you are or anything, but because of your persistence, I'll answer it. That's what he says, doesn't he? And he says that to the woman as well, doesn't he, in Luke 18, he does. Because of your persistence, you know. And so that encourages me to keep going, keep believing. But they're the ones I find the hardest as well to keep believing for, because, you know, when we've prayed it 100 times, but I know one of the things is that that motivates me, and I know it motivates Maggie, is to keep going back to specific promises that God has made and you believe him for in his word. So that's, you know, that's something that motivates me to keep believing, really.
It's been particularly difficult, hasn't it, in this time of COVID, when we've not been meeting together physically. And maybe our prayers for those who need Jesus have not been as kind of, I don't know, together as we should have been. And it was James and Pauline the other week, wasn't it, that was talking about this walking around, just their area and what benefits that's had as they've prayed, as they've met people. And I think we would want to encourage that within the life of HCC at the moment.
Yeah.
And to see that as a real positive.
I liked one of the ideas you had about just praying with unbelievers in need. Just that idea that sometimes we might be wary that they'll think we're forcing our religion on them, sort of thing. That's how it's sometimes perceived. But my experience is when you treat prayer as the most natural thing in the world, they think, well, it is. So, you know, even if they don't have the faith, this guy's going to pray for me, and they appreciate it. They don't see it. It's very, very seldom I've found people say, I don't want you to do that. That isn't true. Mm-hmm. They just value the care and the love you're showing to express your faith for them, for their benefit. I found that's a good a thing that people respond to,
Well, we could spend much more time, Rob, on this. And I hope if people have tuned into this and this has been helpful, just getting our thinking juices going, please come back to us. Let us know your thoughts on prayer. Let us know anything that you have found helpful, particularly that will help others as we seek to make prayer a priority back into our lives. James is raising before us a vision of the importance of prayer. And Christ-centered, God-honoring and persistent prayer, it seems to me, is a priority for our lives. So whenever you face trouble, don't fall into despair, says James, pray. When you experience times of blessing, give thanks, praise God, and give him the glory. And in times of sickness, pray. If you're convicted, there's an unrepentant sin in your life, then call the elders of the church. So we can pray with you that prayer is effective in the life of each one of us in the church. Why don't we pray as we finish, and then we'll, I'm sure, hand over to someone who's going to lead us in a worship song after this. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity of just sharing some thoughts on prayer from your word. And then, as we've discussed, we ask, Lord, that you will help us in our times of prayer, not to be despondent, not to give up, but to be those, Lord, who do, as it were, have faith in the light of what we know, and be brought into the light of those prayers. We pray that there may be a greater understanding in each one of us and as a church that prayer is so important in our lives. So help us then. May we have learnt from you this morning by your Spirit, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Right. I don't know what that was, but you can cut it down if it's too long.
Yeah, I've lost track of time there, so I've got no idea.
Yeah, I did, honestly.